to season two, episode one, the season opener of All Talk No Bock. We are so excited. I'm Heather.
I'm Reese.
And Charles will be back with us next week. He was occupato, but we have back our two stalwarts, Tori and Andrew. Welcome.
Happy to be back.
Yes. So we thought we would kick off today's episode, since it is a cold stove. It's not really a hot stove yet in baseball. It's pretty cold. It's like a lukewarm. It's a stove that's preheated, but it's not quite there yet. So we thought we would kick off this episode by playing a little game of GM. Now, I'm going to be asking each of our friends, Tori, Andrew, and Reese, a GM-ish question regarding their own team by which they subscribe to as a fan. And I'm going to be asking them a very specific question about trades, about free agency, hypotheticals, etc. And they had 10 minutes to prepare prior to the recording of this podcast, because that is what a GM is. It is thinking of things on the fly. You never know when a player is going to be available, when a team will drop out of the race, when a free agent wants to come to you and they want anything at all costs. You got to think on the fly. So this is like a real life experience.
I will never be a GM.
Don't say that. There is the first female GM this very year.
I know.
So it's exciting. Possible. Yes, it's
not
possible.
For me, but for others, yes.
Okay, but dream big, Reese. Dream big. Dream big. That's all I'm going to say. Dream big. So these are not very difficult scenarios, but they are interesting, and we'll see what everybody has in mind. So I will start here with Reese. So Reese, we all know the Padres need starting pitching because they lost Clevinger to Tommy John surgery this next season. And they have other needs as well. But of course, the big talking point in the baseball world is the 2021 shortstop class, free agency class. And there's so much shortstop talent in the majors right now. So with that said, Reese, would you trade your cornerstone Fernando Tatis Jr. for National League pennant MVP and World Series MVP Corey Seager? Or would you trade Fernando Tatis for Indians fan favorite Mr. Smile himself, Francisco Lindor? If not, if you wouldn't do either of those, would you give up top prospects for either Seager or Lindor? And how many? Go ahead, Reese.
Okay, Heather. That's a really hard question, because we all know I love Fernando Tatis Jr. We all know the Padres love Fernando Tatis Jr., the organization itself, as well as its fan base. He is the face of baseball, if you ask me. So giving him up would be really difficult for me. I mean, if we're looking at it like stats wise, like I want to take this more holistically, but like stats wise, like he has the best OPS out of the two options that you just gave me. And so there is that to consider. But if we're looking at this more holistically, like the camaraderie that the team has right now, like I understand that that is not everything in baseball, but like to me, it's a big thing. Like your team needs to get along, work well together in order to play good baseball. I really think so. Like if your team doesn't act like a team, I don't think you're going to win that many games. And I think that Fernando Tatis Jr., the relationship that he has with the other players on the organization is something that you simply can't trade away, no matter how many World Series rings you may have, no matter how stellar your stats may look. So I don't know if I could give him up. If I had to, if I absolutely had to, and I had to pick one of those two options, I would trade him for Corey Seager.
Do you have a reason, or just because of recency bias?
I mean, definitely recency bias. I also think Corey is a very seasoned player. I think he's extremely talented, regardless of whether or not he had won the MVP title like in this past season. I honestly, like, I've been a fan of Corey Seager's. I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I'm a Corey Seager fan. I think he plays really good baseball. I think he definitely knows what he's doing. I think he has great athleticism and a really good attitude. So if I had to, I would trade him for Seager, but ideally I would not trade him. But would you
dip into your very loaded farm system for Seager or Lindor? Or would you not? Not worth it. Okay. Well, that's a really thought out answer, Reese.
Thank you so much.
The Padres organization is proud to have you as their GM.
Thank you.
Okay, Tori, our Yankee Giants fan. But I didn't give her a Giants question because the Giants won't be relevant for probably 5 years. I think it's like fair enough to say. But the Yankees are relevant, very relevant. So, Tori, would you rather, and of course, starting pitching. Again, Padres and Yankees sort of have that in common for different reasons, but the Yankees have had a starting pitching dilemma for a couple of years now. So, Tori, would you rather re-sign James Paxton and Masahiro Tanaka, but not everybody's favorite Yankee, DJ LeMahieu, second baseman, infield extraordinaire, hits 370 every year. I don't know how, it's crazy. Or would you re-sign DJ LeMahieu, but you cannot re-sign any starter in free agency or the trade market? You're just stuck with the staff and hopefully the prospects that are in your farm system, which I'm not as familiar with. So which one, Tori?
Heather, that's definitely a hard question decision. Initially, I was for sure like, oh, re-sign LeMahieu, because, you know, he's great. He's been great over the past couple years and continues to be. He's been in the running for MVP. He was one of the top three this year and had a 3.4 batting average, 71 hits, 10 home runs. He's just a consistent tool for the Yankees. If they don't re-sign LeMahieu, that means that they can't re-sign any other starters, which they need, because all they really have is Gerrit Cole, who's been like an ace for them. But right. Paxton and Tanaka, even though they haven't been good this season, or as good as they should be, obviously we saw Tanaka, he has a slider, which was pretty dominant throughout the 2020 season. He allowed a .260 batting average against him, and a .429 slugging percentage. So he definitely has that on grip, but without having pitching is honestly everything. And just as Reese was saying about how you were saying about how the Padres for Reese, they kind of have a similar situation where they need the pitching. They need that starting rotation. The Yankees have enough players in offense that can step up even in their farm system or anything like that. And just in general that are going to be able to step up if they lose LeMahieu. And I don't think one player is the end all, because the Yankees in general, like, they have enough players that can pick up the slack. Yes, it would be detrimental to them in the fact that they wouldn't have their one star, but they're not built around him. Like, honestly, for me, when I think of the Yankees, I don't just think of LeMahieu. I think of the entire team as a whole. Like, there's so many different players that they have. So I think that they could make LeMahieu free agent and be able to assign some new pitching.
Okay. That's a very, very concise answer. Tori, I appreciate you. The Yankees appreciate you. And we hope it works out with your starting pitchers. So Andrew, on to the Dodger fan. But now not just fan, now general manager. Andrew Friedman is just president of baseball
operations. Just changed his last name? Cool.
No. That's funny. I didn't think about that. You guys are both named Andrew. That's really funny. Okay. Okay. So we all know that the big, the Dodgers are always in the conversation for the biggest trade blockbusters and or free agent signings, just because they have so much money, so many prospects, and they're the Dodgers. So people want to play where they are and they want to sign people. So with that said, the biggest rumor this offseason thus far has been Nolan Arenado, star third baseman, defensive wizard. He's good offensively too. He may or probably will opt out of his big contract with the Rockies after 2021, meaning the Rockies may only have one more season of him. And they are a hot mess, that organization, and need lots of things. So with that said, and again, keep in mind that this is a potential trade with NL West division foes, and that doesn't happen very often, division rivals trading for star players. So this is a big hypothetical. So let's say, Andrew, that the Rockies are asking for four players for Nolan Arenado. They could be prospects. They'll likely, in reality, ask for a combination of highly touted prospects and, like, solid major leaguers. Again, they have so many needs that you could kind of pick and choose. Who would you choose, or would you pass on this trade if you needed to give up four good players? And, caveat to this, does Arenado need to agree to decline the opt-out for you to go through with this trade or push it to longer so you have him for longer without him hitting the free agent market? Or, since Justin Turner is now a free agent at third base, would you re-sign Turner given his advanced age, and that's being generous? Or would you take another third baseman, and you don't have to name which third baseman that may be, but that's extra credit. That's a long question, Andrew. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go through with the first hypothetical situation of this trade is happening and I need to find four players. So you said a mix of prospects and major leaguers. Admittedly, I don't know the names of a lot of our farm system prospects. Like, a lot of them have come up already. So they're already in the major leagues. They're essentially on the roster, quote unquote. So I'm going to go with our current roster, including free agents, just because I'm just assuming everybody's still on the team right now. So like people like Jock and all that.
Uh-huh. Okay, I guess.
So if this trade were to happen in the middle of the season, sure.
Okay.
So I think one name I would throw out there first and foremost is Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes is a great player. He's a great catcher, but he has been kind of sporadic. He did come through a couple times in the postseason. So
a couple times.
Okay. A couple times. All right. But he has been sporadic. He's a great moral rock for the catchers, and he's taught Will Smith a lot. But I think Will Smith has definitely surpassed him in time. If he hadn't gotten that neck injury earlier this season, then obviously he probably would have gotten the majority of the time.
Yep.
Austin Barnes, however, is Kershaw's catcher and became Buehler's catcher in the postseason. So it'd be a big loss, but I'm sure he can pass on what he knows to Will Smith. Like, it's going to be Will Smith's second full year. So I think Will Smith can pick up the reins.
That's true.
I would also throw in either AJ Pollock or Jock Peterson, one of the two or both of them, because we have the problem of the good problem of having too many outfielders.
Yes.
So consistently having too many outfielders. So one of the two or both of them definitely would be in the running. And third, I would I would probably throw in, I'm trying to think, who else do we have? I would actually throw in Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux, because Gavin Lux personally does not do anything for me. He hasn't really proven himself at the major league level, so I don't think betting on him consistently is kind of wise if we're going to get Arenado, who is a solidified defensive cornerstone. So those would be my four players: Jock, Pollock, Lux, and Barnes.
So who would be your second baseman?
Second baseman. This is a world where we keep Kike because I love Kike.
Keep Kike. Interesting.
I think Kike is one of the hearts of the clubhouse, and I'm gonna be so sad if we let him go. So I want to keep him. So that's in my ideal world. Also, in my ideal world, I would probably want to keep Turner because, if the trade doesn't happen, I would want to keep Turner because I feel like we owe it to them to earn the chance to defend your title. You worked so hard to get this title, you should be able to defend it. without kind of like one and done, thanks and goodbye. Like, obviously the Dodger fans are always going to love them, but that's just where I stand. In an ideal world, if we could get Arenado and Turner, I think that'd be great. Turner's obviously like a veteran presence. He's 36 years old. So his time is already going to be limited. So Arenado can take up the chunk of the time also while teaching Edwin Rios more at third base. So he can definitely learn from him. And Turner's already expressed, I feel like he's expressed interest in staying in the game after his playing career. So as a coach or as a manager. So I think that's where Turner can become like what Chase Utley was a few years ago, where he could become a coach to those players and essentially kind of step in like under Dave Roberts' wing and kind of learn the ropes so that he can begin his managerial career, like while still like on our team.
Yes, I agree. If I were to do, I was thinking about this question for you, Andrew, because of course I'm a Dodger fan as well. So I was thinking about what would the Rockies actually take? Like what would actually work? Considering these are division rivals and the Dodgers are just going to get better and they just won the World Series and the Rockies are just going to get worse, no matter how you slice it or dice it, they're losing their best player. So I would say Pollock. I was thinking Pollock too, because Pollock does nothing for us in the postseason. I think he's a great guy and good story, but just for me. I would throw in Gavin Lux and Keibert Ruiz, since our catching situation is pretty locked up. And a lower level prospect in there. And I would throw in, I wasn't thinking we'd keep Kike. I would also throw in maybe a Matt Beatty, just because I think Edwin Rios has a higher ceiling and Matt Beatty's been blocked at the major league level. So that'd be mine. But anyway.
Yeah, I think we could definitely benefit from Arenado. Obviously everybody can, but like you said, Arenado has kind of struggled offensively the last couple of years. He hasn't been necessarily consistent, and even that's at Coors Field. So that's interesting to see.
True.
Like, there's no replacing his glove. His glove is top tier. But in a world where the universal DH kind of stays here, then I would actually trust obviously, you give the bat to Arenado first, and then if it doesn't pan out, you still have JT's bat, which is kind of consistent. And then Rios's bat obviously has pop like crazy, so you can throw him in there.
True. I mean, there's lots of things we don't know about the 2021 season and beyond, but I was just more thinking of, like, what would the Rockies actually take as opposed to, like, what we need, because it's more like they're giving up. I mean, the fans are going to hate them in Denver regardless, so. But that was really...
I just don't think Arenado wants to stay there altogether, so.
No. I don't know why Arenado signed a contract extension to begin with. I was like, what? He hates it. Anyway. And he's from Southern California. It should be noted. Let it be known that he grew up a Dodger fan, I think. Unless he grew up an Angel fan, but I think it was a Dodger fan. Somebody check me on that. Anyway, that was our beautiful general managers. All three of them did a great job. We're so proud. We will be right back with a little tipsy episode of, or edition, not episode, edition of Your Take episode. Your take, our take.
She's already drunk.
I'm drunk. I'm drunk. Okay, guys, Your Take, Our Take coming up. Welcome back to All Talk No Balk. Now we're doing Your Take, Our Take. That wasn't as good as what Charles normally does, but I had to take over for him this week. So we're doing Your Take, Our Take. And the topic of discussion in today's Your Take, Our Take is, if you were to go to a stadium, or even if you were just to watch a baseball game at home, what is your go-to / preferred alcoholic beverage? Now, we are all over 21, even if just for a month or two. So this is legal. If the government is listening in, this is really legal.
Purposes, we're all of age.
We're all of age, even out of this country. I guess we have the highest legal drinking age of any country. So doesn't matter. Okay. So we're going to start with Andrew. Andrew, what is your, okay, don't look so surprised. What is your preferred alcoholic beverage? Go.
Okay, so my preferred alcoholic beverage to drink at home while watching a game would probably be a Paloma. It's a mixed cocktail. It's a Mexican staple. It's just tequila and squirt, so it's great. You really can't go wrong with it. You have a comment?
Wait, did you say grape?
What? I said it's great.
Oh! I thought you said it's grape. I'm like, that sounds disgusting. But yeah, no, you're going, what's squirt?
It's squirt. It's soda.
It's like Sprite, kind of.
It's grapefruit soda.
Okay.
Oh, grapefruit?
Yeah. Yes, I know. Alone, it's kind of weird, but with tequila, it's top tier. But believe me, I can make a solid Paloma. You'd have to try it to believe it. But that's at home. Always a solid choice. And at the stadium, I'd be remiss for all Dodger fans if I were to say anything other than the Michelada.
Of course.
Yeah, like it's the Dodger Stadium staple, even though it's like $30.
Yep.
Micheladas necessarily aren't my favorite, but you gotta have it there, or just a beer. But the $6 upgrade to a Michelada is pretty much worth it.
And what I don't think I've ever actually had it because it's always been too expensive. Is it just beer?
The base is beer. It's either like Modelo or like a Mexican beer and Clamato. So like kind of like. Like tomato juice blend and lime and all that. It's a weird combination outside of it. It works. It's got like tahine on the rim of like the cup and all that. It works. It shouldn't, but it works. I'm not the biggest fan of tomatoes. So that's why if it's made imbalanced, if it's too tomatoey, then it doesn't work for me. But when it's made right, it's good.
I mean, this is all good to know. So if we ever have brunch together back when things open up again, we won't be getting Bloody Marys for Andrew. Now we know this.
Brunch. Yes, let's get brunch.
We are having an All Talk No Back holiday party. It's exclusive to All Talk No Back.
Redacted.
anyway, Tori, let's go over to you. Let's go over to our other lovely guest. What is your preferred alcoholic beverage when watching our favorite sport that we know so much about? Go.
I would say that my favorite would probably be something like either a cocktail or like a margarita. Honestly, any alcohol that doesn't taste like alcohol is the type of alcohol I like.
Okay.
Beer. So I'm definitely not the girl that's going to go to a baseball game and get a hot dog and a beer, although I wish I could be because I feel like that's such a vibe that everyone enjoys, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just not for me. I like something icy, kind of, like if it's a margarita, maybe like a strawberry or like daiquiri or something like that, you know.
Ooh.
It's kind of fruity, flavorful, but also you can, you know, have some fun and get loose.
Get loose.
Margaritas are unbeaten, so can't be either.
Yummy, yummy. We all like our Italian, that is Italian.
It's a Mexican cocktail.
Margaritas are not Italian.
It's tequila, Heather.
No, daiquiris.
Yeah, kind of a lot in there.
I was like, wait a minute.
No, margaritas are, you guys, don't give me any credit. Daiquiris, I think, are Italian. I'm pretty sure. Yes. Anyway, okay. Good choices. I like all of that. I also prefer cocktails that aren't huge on the alcohol, though I do like a beer more than you, I think, every now and again. It's okay. Not worth the calories all the time. I also think about that. And I'm allergic to caffeine and I'm allergic to elderflower. So I can't have like elderflower is like a sweetening agent that they put in a lot of cocktails, that you don't notice until you're allergic to it. So, can't have a lot of that. Anyway,
not daiquiris are Cuban.
Daiquiris are Cuban. Okay.
You're cool. Actually,
Cuba is my, number one vacation destination. I want to go so bad. Yes, I do. I'm serious about that. Because I love Cuban food
and daiquiris.
Daiquiri,
yes.
Okay, and the weather is like really cool. Okay, and it's nice. Reese, my co-host, tell me, what is your preferred alcoholic beverage when watching America's Favorite Pastime? Go ahead.
Yes, so I agree with Tori. I'm not a beer girl at all by any means. So you will not find me at Petco Park with a beer in my hand. I wish I could be, but I'm not. So with that being said, I also really enjoy cocktails, but to be a little bit different, I'm going to say a mojito.
I do like mojitos. Yum!
I like mojitos, so I would get a mojito at Petco to watch.
That is a good choice.
Thank you. Mojitos
are the best. They're literally my favorite.
They're so good. Like, and they have different flavors.
Oh yeah, like blackberry. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. They have different flavors, I know. But yeah, so definitely would go with the mojito.
That's a great choice. Mojitos and like Malibu. Anything with Malibu in it. Malibu and pineapple is really good. Anyway.
Yeah.
Pineapple rum. Pineapple and rum. Can't go wrong with a little pirate beverage. Little nautical, little tropical. Anyway.
A lot of action.
What?
Oh, yes. Yeah, pina coladas. That's a good choice too. Honestly, I would get a pina colada at a baseball game too.
I went to Spain. I know it's Mexican, but I went to Spain and had a pina colada. It was the best thing for breakfast. And it was the best thing I've ever, it was so good with a Spanish tortilla, which is like an egg potato dish. Oh,
that sounds really good. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Barcelona.
So good.
You're making me hungry.
I know, it was so good. No, go to Barcelona, guys. Barcelona is another great, it's a, the weather's a lot.
I would go to Barcelona.
That's so, I mean, it's like life changing. Okay.
Do you think the Pirates only serve rum-based drinks at PNC Park? Because that'd be the best marketing.
That would be.
I think the answer to that is I think the Pirates need to serve lots of alcohol, no matter what it is, because their team is so bad. Sorry, Craig.
Drink to forget. Also, pina coladas are Puerto Rican. We're just learning the origination of all of these drinks.
Thank you, Andrew.
Pina coladas are Puerto Rican?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize to Puerto Rico. My big apologies. I knew they weren't Spanish though, so that's a plus. At least I knew they weren't Spanish. Okay. So for my alcoholic beverage, I went maybe I was a bit too tired last night, and maybe I shouldn't have thought of this so late at night. But I would have absinthe because the Dodgers put me through so much. There's so much terrible stress that I just need a way, like, knock out. Maybe absinthe mixed with a little NyQuil and just really knock me out. That's my answer. So
absinthe. Hey, y'all, we'll be back with a wrap-up.
Is that legal? All righty. That's it for this episode, season 2 premiere of All Talk No Bock. Thank you to Tori and Andrew, as always, for joining us, and Reese for being a great co-host. Charles, we'll see you next week. So we are officially All Talk No Bock, the company. So our website is up and running. It looks great. You guys head to alltalknobock.com for all of our articles. During the off season, we're just doing 2 a week. So check those out. They've been really good these past few weeks that we haven't done the podcast. So check them out. And we're still on Twitter and Instagram. We are no longer on Facebook. So if you try to search us, nothing will come up. So, but we are still on Twitter and Instagram. And our TikTok is TBD, TBA. It's going to happen, just not this very second. We're in the process of getting it up and running. But that's the really exciting news that we have. And just follow us. Tell if you liked Oliver, tell us which alcoholic beverage you would have at a game. And the answer probably isn't one of mine. That's okay. I accept that. Because my walk-up song is everybody's favorite, so I can't always win, right? Tell your friends about us. Follow us on all our social media. We're on YouTube still too, and Spotify. And leave us a voicemail on Anchor. And we will... We'll see you guys next week. We have a special guest, and we have not determined our take yet. So it's all going to be one big surprise, like my alcoholic beverage that I gave to you, the fans. So Have a great week. We will see you next week. Goodbye.